Center online this morning. We are absolutely honored and delighted that you're here with us, and we look forward to spending this time with you every Sunday. We had no idea, no knowledge, of course, that we would be not able to publicly gather as for as long as this has been. It's going to be a few more weeks, but we are so honored and grateful that you're here with us. We look forward to spending time in worship and in the Word of God with you. Pastor Sherry, let's say our favorite verse as we open our service this morning. Psalm 118, verse 24 declares, This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it.
Amen.
Let's pray. And while we're praying, I'm going to take just a few extra minutes this morning while we're together and pray about all the serious things that are happening in our lands.
Right.
We need a land that is absolutely awakened by the Spirit of God. Now, this is Pentecost Sunday. This is the day we celebrate the pouring out of the Spirit of God. Shavuot in Israel as one of the feast days, the Feast of Weeks, as we call it, Pentecost. But it's a celebration of the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. We need a pouring out of the Holy Spirit all across our land again. We need to see him move. Yes, we need to see him awaken. What's the answer to racism? Repentance, forgiveness, and a heart filled with the Spirit of God. Because every wall comes down as we flow into the goodness and into the joy of the Lord together.
Oh, yes.
So our prayer this morning, join me, won't you? Lord Jesus, we come to you today and we dedicate this time to you.
Yes.
But more than this time, we dedicate our nation to you right now.
Yes.
Our major cities in upheaval. We understand the anger and the frustration. We understand the wicked racism that has murdered another black man. And Father, we see persecution and racism against the Jewish people. We see it against the Asians. We see it against so many. But Lord, it's a condition of sin in the human heart. And we repent and renounce of it in our own lives. But we pray, O God, blanket this earth with your glory as the waters cover the sea. Pour out your Spirit again, O God. Pour out your Spirit again. Let a fresh awakening take place all around this earth. Now into your hands we commit this time and pray that you will be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And we take a few minutes as we sing the song to celebrate to the Lord and welcome you. Pastor Sherry, why don't you welcome a few of these people who are coming on with us?
Yeah, we're happy to see Joseph Guerrera is with us this morning, and the Withers and the Logs and Bronwyn and Kathy Lunsford and Daria. We're just delighted to have you with us this morning.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Sherry, you've got some thoughts from the scripture.
Oh,
share with us if
I have
please.
Some thoughts. Last night, I guess I turned the TV on about 3:45 and yesterday afternoon, and I could not believe my eyes.
Yeah.
I
Amen.
Could not believe what was happening right in Seattle.
Yeah.
I was so grieved, and it didn't stop. It just kept going and going and going, and I thought, what is Seattle coming to? What is happening right here in a beautiful, the beautiful state of Washington?
Yeah.
What is happening? Then I started to prepare for this morning, and I saw that as we go through the Bible in a year, we're in Psalm 66 this morning, and I couldn't help but see, I was captured immediately by our first verse, and that's verse 7 of Psalm 66. King James says, he ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. And I stopped right there and I thought, God, you're looking at this. You're looking at Seattle and you're seeing it.
Powerful.
Then it goes on to say, let not the rebellious exalt themselves. And then it says, Selah. And I stopped and I did. I thought on it. Let not the rebellious, those who are looting and and breaking windows in major department stores down and jewelry stores downtown and going in and just walking out with stuff and dropping half of the merchandise on the street.
Yeah, and the sad part is, I'm sorry to interrupt, but the sad part is, it's the opposite of what our brother in the Lord, George Floyd, wanted. This man was a dedicated Christian.
Yes.
And he kept saying to people, you know, we need to peacefully do these things. Set down your gun, go home. And he did everything he could in his communities to bring people to Jesus, to give people hope. And so that's lost. There are elements of people who do travel around and they get involved and try to inflame these things. But it's the rebellious against the Lord. Our hearts hurt for people who are hurting, for the blacks who have lost so many, for the African Americans and so many other people groups who have lost people to irresponsible, wrong, wicked acts, whether it's by the police or from other people. And as you know, we believe Jesus wants to bring healing. He wants to bring hope and life to this earth. But the hearts have to be dealt with. And so as we watch this, we were grieved last night because it was the opposite of what our brother George Floyd wanted.
So I went on and I looked in several translations, so I'm going to be sharing these verses this morning from not just King James, but from several other translations. And God's Words translation translates verse 7 like this. He rules forever with his might. His eyes watch the nations.
Wow.
Rebels will not be able to oppose him. Selah. There is coming a day when the rebelliousness will be judged.
Indeed.
It's coming, and they don't know what they're in for. Verse 8 says, King James, oh, bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. And right
Excellent.
There I saw, Excellent. What am I supposed to do when I see this rebelliousness and this destruction in the streets? I'm supposed to make my voice heard
Beautiful.
As I praise him.
Beautiful.
The Passion says, praise God, all you peoples. Praise him everywhere and let everyone know how you love him. And that is my verse. I get as close to him as I can. Oh, wow. Yes. Getting
that.
As close to him as we can Beautiful. Is the way out, right?
That's right.
The New Living says, let the whole world bless our God and loudly sing his praises. Oh, let the whole world bless my God, my Father in
yes,
heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 9, King James, which holdeth our soul in life and suffereth not our feet to be moved. That is a mouthful of words that to me meant nothing. It's too lost up in the old Englishie.
You're just so honest.
I have to be. The passion says, and I get it here, there's no doubt about it. God holds our lives safely in his hands. Yes, Lord.
Yes,
hold
yes,
my
yes.
life. Hold
Thank
our
you,
lives safely in
yes,
your hands.
Jesus.
He's the one who keeps us faithfully following him.
He does.
Oh, I thought it was all up to me. That isn't what this says. He's the one who keeps us faithfully following him. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
New Living says our lives are in his hands, and he keeps our feet from stumbling. Amen.
Amen.
Now let me read the whole thing from the Message. Ever sovereign in his high tower, he keeps his eye on the godless nations. Rebels don't dare raise a finger against him. Bless our God, O peoples. Give him a thunderous welcome.
Woo!
Didn't he set us on the road to life? Didn't he keep us out of the ditch? Oh, yes, Father, that's exactly what you've done.
That's me.
And we give you this morning a thunderous welcome of praise.
Yes,
be
Lord
with us,
Jesus.
Holy Spirit,
yes.
Be here with us. And as you are, Lord, we are just going to give you thunderous praise this
yes,
morning. Come into your precious presence, Lord.
Yes.
We're just here for you. Amen.
Amen. Caught me taking a drink of water.
That's all right. That's real.
But that's what the song says. It says we bring him thunderous songs of praise. You know, the rebellious that she spoke about, they are in the land. But our prayer, even together, is, oh, God, bring them to repentance. These people need to see you and need to be able to see how much your love will change their life. There's hurting people, and they need Jesus. Amen. I can hear y'all saying amen out there. We welcome, let's see, the Alamitos and Daria and Bronwyn and the Nordbergs. And I don't want to forget anybody or miss anybody, but we welcome you all. So here we go. Let's sing that song again. River of God pour out all across the land. River of God pour out on every woman and man. In thunderous songs of praise, welcome restoration days, for Jesus is our King. Jesus is the only one who saves and forgives. Jesus is the only one who makes me want to live. He died, was buried, and rose again. He's the only reason I need to lift my voice and sing. Oh, river of God, pour out all across the land. River of God, pour out on every woman and man. Come, let your voices raise in thunder songs of praise. Welcome, restoration days, but Jesus is our King. Deliverance, forgiveness, hope and joy. Revival, healing, it's love in my soul. Sin, condemnation, and shame are gone in the power of Jesus' name. I'm set free and I can sing. Restoration. hope that you believe that this morning. He is our King. He is the one who is in complete charge and complete control. As we bear the burdens, though, as intercessors for America, for our own land. And by the way, we want to welcome you, Kitty, and Chris Cohen, and the rest who have come on in. We're grateful that you're here, and welcome the Josephs as well. Our God is in control. The victory is won, but we have to establish that victory, don't we, as we live, as we love, as we share his love and his life with all those around him. He sees, he knows. Let's continue to raise up thunderous songs of praise to him, and let's believe him. But I know I speak for all of us this morning when I share a burden, and the burden is deeper than just a simple burden. There is a lament in the spirit that takes place. As Jesus came into Jerusalem, he wept. He was grieved. He went on then to clear out the money changers. But just before his Passion Week at Passover, he came in and he wept again. And Matthew 23, verse 37 out of King James says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often," listen to the heart of Jesus, "how often I would have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." We speak of being under the shadow of Jesus' wings. And he's there saying, "I would that you came in. Come in." Out of the Passion, that says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." Matthew 23, verse 37 out of the Passion. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you are the city that murders the prophets. You are the city that stones the very messengers who were sent to deliver you." By the way, they still came. They still went. Just like you and me, with our friends, our families, our neighbors, our cities, our communities that need Jesus, we still go and we bring his presence. But listen to how this completes. "So many times," Jesus says, "I have longed to gather a wayward people. Who were sent as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were too stubborn to let me." The Lord knows. And he is gathering us together with a heart of burden for those who need him. So I'm going to change the sound just a little bit. This morning, I may not do all the most contemporary songs, but I'll do everything I can to help us experience his presence and thoughtfulness as we come into this time. But there's a song that a lot of people are singing right now, and I'm not going to sing it anywhere near to what you can find on the YouTube, but I think it expresses the Lord's heart. It goes like this. "Walking around these walls, I thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet." Listen to the words. Here we go. "Waiting for change. Waiting for change to come. Knowing the battle's won.
Sing your praise. So strong and so powerful. We're celebrating the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to go back into the wheelhouse for a song here that some of you may remember. Let's see if I can remember this to do it right. But as you raise your hands to receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, just enjoy Him with a couple more of these songs here this morning. It's beginning to rain. Hey, how about this? This is live. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I have promised to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come drink of the water, I have promised to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, the water, for I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. One more time, slowly. It's beginning to rain. Hear the voice of the Father saying, whosoever will come drink of the water, for I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, lift your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. Well, for those of you who lead worship every now and then, you'll understand it when I say, that went a lot better in practice. But the expression is still true. You know, the book of Joel tells us He promises to pour His Spirit out on His sons and His daughters. Is that you? Is that me? Absolutely. We've come here to worship Him. Oh.
come, Holy Spirit, I need you. Come, Holy Spirit, I pray.
My all, Christ is my.
join me and sing it one more time? We'll slow it down a bit. Would you raise your hands to the Lord? The song is called, You Are My Everything. You are my all. You are my everything, both great and small. You gave your life to me. Nobody else did. Nobody else went to the cross. Nobody else took your sins, your heaviness, your hearts, your sorrows, your heart's burdens. Only Jesus. You gave your life for me. You made everything new. You are my everything, Jesus. None other will do. Yeah, we're on Pentecost Sunday, and the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will remind us of everything about Jesus and all that he said. So, let's just fall in love with him even more as we sing the song one more time. You are my everything. You are my all. You are my everything, both great and small. True for you today? Has he become, is he your everything? Let's go to the Word of God this morning together and spend a few minutes together looking at what happened 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 2, verses 2 through 4. And we're going to take time and talk about it. But before we get there, just a little bit of history. You know, Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, Jewish people from around the world had been scattered in the New Testament time. Around the world, to Roman and Parthian worlds. The Parthian world, when you read about that or hear about that, the Parthian world was the historical region that was located in northeastern Iran. It was conquered, it was subjugated by the Empire of the Medes during the 7th century B.C. It was incorporated into the subsequent Achaemenid Empire under Cyrus the Great. You remember these names in 6th century B.C. Formed part of the Hellenistic Seleucid Empire. Seleucids were the Syrians and the Hellenists were those who had been heavily influenced under the conquering of Alexander the Great, who spread the Greek language, Greek culture, and they became known as Hellenists if you were from a different culture, even in Israel, and you were heavily influenced by the philosophy and the flowing of the thinking and principles of the Greek, you were known as a Hellenist. And so all of that was current in the day when this occurred. Now Israel would gather for three main feasts. You recall there was Passover and there was Shavuot, which is Pentecost, we call it Pentecost, and then Tabernacles. And it was an agrarian economy, it was agricultural, and all of these were pretty much around the feasts and the crops that were brought in, the barley harvest, the wheat harvest, the fruit, and all of that. Pentecost was only 50 days after Passover. And that's why it's called the Feast of Weeks. There were 7 weeks of 7 days plus one, known as 50. And Penta means 50. Some who came, and literally Jerusalem was packed out. some people say, Josephus says, 500,000, 800,000, 1,000,000 people. And then there were probably more women and children, since lots of times they just counted the men. But anyway, it was packed out, and these people would come for pilgrimage to Israel. Israel, the men were supposed to show up, and they brought their families three times a year. They'd come for Passover, and many times they'd stay in order to celebrate Shavuot, or the Pentecost that would come. Now, it's very interesting if you consider the condemnation and death of Jesus had occurred during one of the feasts, Passover, 50 days earlier. Jesus, by the time Pentecost, in the context of where we're going, by the time that had happened, Jesus ascended 10 days earlier. The condemnation and the death of Jesus had occurred during one of these feasts, and now the next universal gathering of the devout Jews is the occasion for the complete vindication of Jesus, his character, his ministry, and everything that happened, and it was the beginning of his kingdom. Fantastic. The Lord doesn't do anything by accident. It's the day most agree on which the law was given on Mount Sinai, and so the Jews commemorate the giving of the law. But as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we get to commemorate the giving of a better law. If you go to your book of Hebrews, you find all about Jesus as the mediator of better promises, of better things, and of a better law, the law of the Spirit of life. He writes his word on our hearts and on our minds, and we are his. He now just doesn't come as Jesus did to be with us as we walked with him, but he sends his Spirit to be in us, to listen, to hear, to prompt. It's Acts 2 verses 1 through 4, not 2 through 4, but here's the word of God. Let's listen as the Holy Scripture speaks to us about this great event. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. There appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all, circle that word, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now that's the New King James Version. Let me read that out of the Passion. On the day Pentecost was being fulfilled, all the disciples were gathered in one place. Suddenly they heard the sound of a violent blast of wind rushing into the house from out of the heavenly realm. Listen, the roar of the wind was so overpowering, it was all anyone could bear. Then all at once, a pillar of fire appeared before their eyes, and it separated into tongues of fire that engulfed each one of them. They were all filled and equipped with the Holy Spirit and were inspired to speak in tongues, empowered by the Spirit to speak in languages they had never learned. Interesting, they heard the sound, and then they saw the tongues upon each of them. Let's talk about the sound. A rushing mighty wind. It doesn't say, by the way, it doesn't say it was a rushing mighty wind. We don't see tents blown over. We don't see the temple destroyed and with this destructive roaring wind. It was the sound. It sounded probably like a tornado, if you've been in a tornado, or what I understand it would sound like. J. Vernon McGee, we enjoy reading the works of J. Vernon McGee, and he tells about a friend of his daughter's who lived in Kansas during a tornado, and she lived through it, everything was fine. They were just two blocks away from where the tornado really did hit. They were very fortunate. But here's how she described it. It was the sound of 1,000 freight trains coming into town. That kind of puts it in vivid language that we might be able to relate to. Jesus had promised his disciples, if you wait, I'll endue you, I'll clothe you with power from on high, with the dunamis of God, the dynamic, the dynamo, the dynamic power of the Lord. And 10 days after he ascended, this occurred. Penta, again, 50. God does it. Acts chapter 2. Then it happens. Now, during these past few weeks, too many, I'm sure we all agree, we've been shut up in our homes. Passover was where they were shut up in their homes. so the death angel could pass over them. We've been shut up in our homes. In fact, never in our lives have we ever seen anything like this, the whole world all at once. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to a fresh move of the Holy Spirit, a fresh awakening of the power of the Holy Spirit being poured out and coming out of our homes with the praises of God, just like Pastor Sherry spoke about this morning, us having been getting as close to Him as we can, and we come out of our homes with a glory and a radiance with the countenance of Jesus, because we've been endued in a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what you want? That's what I want. Lord, we surrender to You. Do it today. Pour out Your Spirit today. Let's talk about the people. Who was there? Now, it was people from all around the known world. The diaspora had occurred, and Jews had gone everywhere. And you know, later, after the resurrection, there was a real persecution that occurred in Jerusalem. There was another scattering, this time of the Christians. But people from around the known world in the diaspora, the scattering, there were merchants from Israel and Jewish brethren or people from all around the known world. They returned for the feast. And God radically baptized them in the Holy Spirit. And it caused an uproar. Some hear the baptism of the Holy Spirit today, and the charismata, the charismatic gifts of the Spirit, and they get filled with a holy uproar against it. Pure emotionalism. I remember ages ago, when I was a kid, I got saved and radically baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember, well, I grew up in a preacher's kid's home. My mom was a preacher's kid, and I remember asking my parents, saying, "Hey, what do you think about speaking in tongues?" And without skipping a beat, my stepdad, and I loved him very much, he said, without skipping a beat, "Oh, it's a bunch of emotional gibberish." And my mom just kind of looked at me, and she goes, "Why? Is that what you guys do at your youth group?" And she had watched me become fruitful and alive in God. And I said, "Yeah, Mom, we do." And she looked at me and then she said, and both my stepdad and her said, "Well, you know, we don't know everything there is to know about it," because they had seen the fruit. And so, you know, I'm going to use a term. I heard it from Leonard Sweet the other day, but I think it's a great term. Many of us put up a firewall against the fire of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to urge you even today, take that firewall down. Be receptive to the fresh fire of the Spirit of God. If you've been baptized in the Spirit, you know what I'm speaking about, but then be freshly filled, because you see in the Scripture, after Acts 2, other places, they were filled, and they were filled, and they were filled. It's a crucial thing for us to keep engaging with the Spirit of God and let Him flow in and through us like a powerful river. But what's so interesting, the onlookers were the ones who were in an ecstatic uproar. They were confounded, is what the Bible says. And the confounding, the Greek means they were thrown into disorder and they were perplexed. It says they were amazed. It means to really put them out of their wits. They were astounded. There's a word in the Greek, or part of the definition means they were insane. Well, not referring again to the speaker in other tongues, but to the people that were looking on. They marveled. The Greek says they wondered and admired. And you know the whole thing where they talked about, "These guys are drunk." Well, obviously not. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning, and the kind of wine they were referring to wasn't in season or had been preserved. There were some preservations possible, but it was clearly not that. But why were they confounded, amazed, and marveled? Acts 2 verse 11 says, "We hear them," because we hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful word of God. By the way, those who limited only to languages known by the other people, and it was an evangelistic thing that occurred, and it did. It was a powerful, magnificent gift. Later in the book of Acts, that's not what happens. They hear them speak with tongues and they magnify God. But we don't hear it about this specific kind of evangelism. God can do anything He wants, can He? Don't you just love walking with God? I just love walking with Him. He could take us by surprise. And He did that day. Now Peter is now baptized in the Spirit. Peter is speaking in tongues. And the man who denied Jesus before stands up with the dunamis power, the fruit of the baptism of the Spirit in his life, and preaches an incredible message. And 3,000 people get saved. And they say to him, what must we do to be saved? He says, repent, be baptized, receive you the Holy Ghost. As we said before, you wouldn't be a believer if the Holy Spirit wasn't involved in your life. There was a place in John where Jesus breathes on his disciples as he sends them out to do the mighty works of God, and they had received the Holy Spirit. But now there's a baptism. By the way, nations were scattered in their tongues from the Tower of Babel. God judged them, and they scattered, each to his own tongue. Here, God restores and brings back the people and makes them one as they speak in marvelous languages from heaven and also languages that could be understood. Let's talk about the fire. At Pentecost, God confirmed the validity of the Holy Spirit's ministry by sending fire, just like he had in the Old Testament many times. And this time it comes down on their heads. I've heard some people say the tongues of fire. It wasn't literal fire, but tongues of fire. And it could have looked like this, or maybe it was like this. But the issue is the Holy Spirit fell upon them. Each of them took down their firewall against the fire of the Spirit. Luke 3:16. I indeed baptize you with water, John said, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Joel 2:28 and 29, if you're taking notes. Joel 2:28 and 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and my maid servants, I'll pour out my Spirit in these days. I'll pour out my Spirit upon your sons and daughters, we're saying. All right, what are some of the results? He begins us. He promises to complete us in our growth in faith by walking and receiving the Holy Spirit. You are not in the flesh, Romans 8:9 says, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Philippians, being confident of this very thing, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. One of the most beautiful things that happens when you receive the Holy Spirit baptism is unity. I was birthed into the Lord. I was 14. Then I got saved again when I was 16 because I didn't fully take the first time. But I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. All of a sudden, the scripture made sense. All of a sudden, denominational walls didn't make any difference. The charismatic movement was one of the biggest movements that's ever occurred on the earth. It doesn't matter if you're Lutheran, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, we flowed in the Spirit of God together, and then we began to recede back into our walls again. But Jesus is still pouring out his Spirit, and you immediately know when you're in fellowship with people who love the Lord and who are baptized in his Spirit. They were in one accord, every one of them praying and waiting on God, every one of their hearts united in their desire for the Lord. And I want to tell you, as we do that today, God meets us too. In light of all the chaos in our cities, we need him to move in that way. I want to point just quickly to one of the greatest revelations of healed racism. You find it right in the Bible. And it was in the book of Acts in the city of Antioch in Syria. There was a time in that diaspora, early Christians, they went out and they shared the word with other Jewish people. Acts 11:19-26. Here's your context. Acts 11:19-26. Those who were scattered under the persecution that arose over Stephen's death in the book of Acts earlier, traveled preaching the word to no one but the Jews only. But some of them were men from Cyprus and Cyrene, who when they'd come to Antioch, spoke to the Hellenists, the Greeks or Jews influenced by Greek thinking and practices, preaching the Lord Jesus. A whole bunch of them got saved. And in this church, you had Jew and Gentile. Basically, Jews who were supposed to be the representative of God to the earth, thought they were God's chosen people, and they are. We love and stand with the Jewish people. We absolutely stand with them. But in this day, they had carried it to, we are the people who have the temple, or we are the people who have the Ten Commandments, and we are the people. And they didn't share it with others as they should have. So God saw to it that the word of God was scattered, and that Jesus, he was preached. And all of a sudden in this church, you've got Jew and Gentile. Man, they're together and they're worshiping Jesus. And Barnabas comes and he sees this. You could just imagine his heart being so full, tears running down his eyes, saying, wow, this is the way it's supposed to be. God made of two, one new man, the Bible says. He goes and he gets Saul, who had gone back to Tarsus, brings him back, and they stay there for a year teaching in Antioch. And they were first called Christians there. They removed the firewall against Jesus. They removed the firewall against the Holy Spirit. And they removed the firewall of racism from each other. He's the God who still heals today. It's time for a fresh awakening. It's time for a fresh move of awesome power, the power of the Holy Spirit. He's our reconciler. You know, when we pray in the Spirit, we know the Spirit prays through us, and we find a fulfillment of one other scripture I want to share this morning. 1 John 5:14-15. Listen to the words of God. Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him. Are you asking for a fresh outpouring? Are you asking for Jesus to save our cities, to awaken our land, to awaken our family members, our friends, people on our cul-de-sac, our block, our communities? Are you asking for the earth to be filled with his glory as the waters cover the sea? Oh, church, let us unite our hearts in prayer, crying out for a fresh move of the Holy Spirit, because that agrees with the heart of God. I read the scriptures about Jesus grieved over Jerusalem, and he was grieved. And Jerusalem, its city, was destroyed in 70 AD, and yet God promised through the word of God, I'm bringing you back. And Israel came back. We've seen it in our lifetimes. And God promises he'll move. Let's agree with him. 1 John 5:14-15, out of the Passion. Since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before him. For if we present any request agreeable to his will hear us. And if we know he hears us, and whatever we ask, we also know we've obtained the requests we ask of him. Since we have this confidence, we can also have great boldness before him. For if we present any request agreeable to his will hear us. And if we know he hears us, and whatever we ask, we also know that we have obtained the requests we ask of him. Keep praying, church. Keep believing. Keep trusting that he will bring his fresh outpouring. Now, next week, I want to invite you to come back and be with us, because next week we're going to be speaking more about the gifts of the Spirit, the resulting sign of tongues that happened as the most common sign. We'll be speaking more of the gifts of the Spirit, because our God is alive and well and moving and doing so much. But as you go forth this day, I want you to pray with me that you'll remove any firewall. And I want you to ask the Lord this week, oh Lord, fill me fresh. Come, Holy Spirit, fill me fresh with your presence, with your grace, with your life, and with your dunamis power, so I can go forth bringing your presence. For this and other topics similar, you can go to gracechristiancenter.us. gracechristiancenter.us, and find other messages. You can write us here at PastorKevinHunter@gmail.com. PastorKevinHunter@gmail.com. Or write Pastor Sherry, and that's S-H-E-R-R-I. PastorSherryHunter@gmail.com. We love you. We are grateful that you have taken this time. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for what you've done for us, for pouring out your Spirit on the day of Pentecost a day that has changed our entire lives. And we are so grateful, Lord, we remove and we repent from the firewalls. We remove them now. We look into your word to see your truth, and we love you. And Lord, we love your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thanks for coming. Thanks for filling us. Thanks for filling us to overflowing with your presence and your spirit. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we love you so much. And we go forth this day in the joy of the Lord, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you. Thanks again for being with us. We'll look forward to being with you again. And God bless you. Have a fantastic day in the presence of the Lord. Amen.